Tonight's shiur is on the topic of Megillas Esther, and the title of tonight's shiur is Hiding Esther's Identity. And we will be taking up Megillas Esther because Purim's right around the corner, and I wanted to address an idea in Perek Beis in Megillas Esther, and as the title suggests, there's no gimmicks in the title, but the shiur will be on the idea that Esther had to conceal her identity from those who are around her, as well as Achashverosh. So I want to understand the reason why on a deeper level, and I think that it highlights the psychology present in Megillas Esther, which is a key theme in Megillas Esther. So we're going to take it up from Perek Beis, Pasuk Zion, in Megillas Esther, and I will read. Vayhi omein es hadasa, hi Esther bas dodo, ki ein la avaim, v'hanara yifas toar, v'tovas moreh, uvemos avia v'ima, lekacha Mordechai lo levas. So Esther was very beautiful. She didn't have a mother or father. She ended up being taken under the wing of Mordechai, and she was a daughter to Mordechai. Very beautiful. Vayhi bihishama dvar hamelech vidaso uvikavetz naros rabos al shushana b'ira al yad hegai vatilakach Esther al beis hamelech al yad hegai shomer anashim. So when the decree went out to gather up all the females to Shushan HaBira at the hand of Hegai, who was in charge of the house of the women, so she was taken, Esther was taken as well. She was very beautiful, and she was taken into the house in preparation to be with Achashverosh, as part of his decree. Vatitav ha-nara ve'inav, vatisa chesed lefanav, vayivahel es tamrukel ve'esmanosel loses lo, ve'eish sheva ha-naros haruyos loses lo mi-beis ha-melech, vayishaneha ve'es narosel letov beis ha-nashem. So she found favor in the eyes of Hegai, and Hegai, who was in charge of the house of the Nashim, so he ended up speedily getting anything she needed, any ointments or any creams that she needed to beautify her, and she had the best Na'aros, the best women around her to help her, and she was taken care of. So then we come to Pasuk Yud. This is where I want to take up this year, the main idea of this year. Lo higida Esther es amav es molata ki Mordechai tziva leha asher lo sagit. So Esther did not tell anybody her nation and her family situation. Why? Because Mordechai commanded her not to say anything. And then we go to Yud Aleph of V'chol Yom Vayom Mordechai Misalech Lifnei Chatzar Beis Hanashem Ladas Eshalom Esther Uma Yaseh Ba. And every day Mordechai would check on Esther to see what was happening with her. Okay, so we have the basic background and the basic history. But as I said before, the main pasuk I want to take up is pasuk Yud. Lo higida Esther es amah ves molata ki Mordechai tziva aleha asher lo sagit. So I have two questions on this pasuk, and if anybody else has any other questions, please feel free to ask. So one question I think is, why was it important for Esther not to say anything about her amah and molata, about her nation and her family situation, her genealogy? And the other thing that's funny about the pasuk is at the end of the pasuk it says ki Mordechai tziva aleha asher lo sagit, because Mordechai commanded her. So why does it have to tell us that the reason why she did it was because Mordechai commanded her? I would say it should just say that Esther did it because she understood it. Or why does it say that because Mordechai commanded her? So those are the two essential questions that we're going to start with. But as usual, we're going to come to some answers and some really simple, nice answers to this question, which the Mefarshim take up. But part of it is a setup for a bigger question that we're going to have to address. Okay, so the main question is, why exactly was Esther commanded by Mordechai not to say anything about where she came from, what her nationality was, what her genealogy was? Okay, so let's look at Rashi. So if we look at number two, Rashi, Esther Beis, Pasuk Yud, it says, Asher lo sagid, kedeshi yomru shehi memeshpacha bezuya v'yishalchua, so that Achashverosh would say that she comes from a degraded meshpacha, not a high mishpacha, and he would send her out, send her away. She'im yadu shehi mimishpachas Shaul HaMelech hayu machzikim ba. Because if they knew, and Achashverosh knew, that she came ultimately from the lineage of Shaul HaMelech, because she was from the tribe of Binyamin, then they would surely grab her and take her, and there would be a higher chance for her to, to become queen, and to be taken by Achashverosh. Okay, so the first pshat by Rashi is a simple pshat. basically, the idea is that Esther couldn't mention anything about where she came from because she had kingship in her lineage. And if Ahasuerus or the people surrounding Ahasuerus knew that, that would assist her in terms of becoming his wife. And Mordechai was trying to command Esther in something that would prevent her from, you know, from becoming his wife, and so that she would be sent away and she would never be taken by Ahasuerus. So the advice was just keep quiet, don't say anything, and then you're good. So that's a simple pshat by Rashi, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Okay, so one pshat is that she was tied to kingship, and the whole purpose of her not mentioning anything about where she came from was in order so that Ahasuerus would not be attracted to her and that she'd be sent away and she wouldn't become queen. And that was the purpose of that. And the Gra in number 3, the Bir HaGra on the same pasuk, gives, you know, a similar type of idea, but there's a little bit of a nuance. If you look at number 3, it says, Lo higida Esther, perush, ki Mordechai tziva alea asher lo sagid es amah ve'es mishpachta. The Mordechai commanded her not to say anything. V'hainu l'fi shehaisa mitamenes atzma min amelech. The reason why she was commanded not to say anything was because she hid herself from the melech. The gam achar shenis galsa lo haisa holeches ad shelachu osa baal korcha. So she, even after she was revealed, they had to take her, they had to drag her in forcefully. The haya Mordechai mis yare she yahargu osa ves mishpachta ves ama. And Mordechai was nervous that if Ahasuerus found out that she had to be taken forcefully, so Ahasuerus would be upset and he would kill the whole entire nation, and he would kill her family as well as her whole nation. Because they would say that apparently this nation and this people, they don't want to be married and they don't want to be associated with a king. So the Gra, he argues with Rashi and he says the reason why Esther was commanded not to say anything to Ahasuerus was for a different reason. And the reason being that she was taken forcefully by the king because she didn't want to be taken. And the advice was, don't say anything, because if Ahasuerus finds out that you didn't want to be taken as queen and be married to him, so that'll cause disastrous side effects, and he'll end up killing, you know, not just you, but also your family and also your nation. So those are the two pshatim that, you know, we just went through. So one was Rashi and the other one was the Gra. Okay, so keep that, you know, in the back of your mind, but I think both of them make sense and they're beautiful ideas. But the basic summary of both ideas is that the purpose of not saying anything was to get her out of the situation, to get her out of being married to Ahasuerus, and that was the purpose of it. According to Rashi, as we said before, because of the fact that she was married, she had a kingship in her lineage, and according to the Gra, because Ahasuerus would be angry if he found out that she was hiding from him, and she would be killed and the rest of the family. Okay? All right. So that's the simple pshat. But now let's get a little bit more difficult here and a little bit more complex and deeper. So if we look at number 4, if we take it on further in the same parak, Esther, parak Beis, and we take it up from Pasuk Tes Zayin. So I'm going to read again. It says, Vatilakach Esther el Hamelach Achashverosh el Beis Malchuso b'chodesh Asiri hu chodesh Teves b'shnas Shevel Malchuso. So Esther, she won, and she ended up being taken by Achashverosh on the 10th month in Teves, in the 7th month of his kingship. Vayehav Hamelach es Esther mikol anashim v'tisachin v'chesed lefanov mikol besulos v'yosem keser malchus b'rosha v'yamlicheh atachas vashti. So as I said before, she won this whole entire pageant. She won. She was the besula that Ahasuerus loved the most. And she was granted becoming queen. She became queen, and she replaced Vashti. Vayas hamelech meshteh gadol l'chol sarav avadav, eis meshteh Esther v'hanachal lamdinos asav, v'yitin maseis kiyar hamelech. So he made another big party, basic summary of the pasuk, to celebrate the fact that he took Esther. Uvikavet besulos shenis, Mordechai yosheh b'shar hamelech. And then he gathered more besulos, and Mordechai would sit at the gate of the king. Now we come to Chaf. Ein Esther magedes molatav es alma, kasher tziva aleha Mordechai, ves ma'amar Mordechai Esther osa, kasher haisav omna ito. So the same thing as Pasuk Yod. Esther would not mention molata, you know, her family, nor her nation, as Mordechai had commanded her, and also the words of Mordechai Esther followed, as it was when she was taking care of him, when she was brought up by Mordechai. So what's strange about this? Now, what questions naturally emerge from these psukim? What can we ask on Rashi and the Gra, both? So I think the obvious question, I think, is that before we were saying that the reason why Esther had to conceal her identity was to not, in order, according to Rashi, in order to not be found out that she was from the lineage of Shaul. So, if that were to happen, according to Rashi, she might not be taken at all, and she would be sent away. So, if that's the case, so then why was it necessary after she was chosen to keep it a secret? See, I understand, according to Rashi, I understand initially, you don't want to say anything because you don't want to be chosen. But once you're chosen, and obviously Ahasuerus loves her, so why not say something? Why was it so important? And the Pasuk reiterates that it was important for Esther not to say anything, and Mordechai commanded her. If you look at Rashi, which is number 5 on the source sheet, it says, "Ein Esther mageres molata, l'fisha Mordechai yoshev b'shar ha-melech ha-mezarzeh v'ha-meramza akach." So he kept telling her, and he kept hinting to her, and warning her, don't say anything, don't say where you came from. So my question is, according to Rashi before, it doesn't make sense. Why couldn't she say something? As I said before, fine, she was related to the king, and Mordechai didn't want Ahasuerus to know that initially because he didn't want her to be chosen. But now it's already, she's been chosen. So what's the problem? Why not say something according to that? And you have the same question, a similar question on the Gra. So the Gra is saying that the reason why is because Mordechai was afraid that Ahasuerus would be upset at Esther for hiding away and for not revealing herself and not, you know, willingly going to the Beis HaNashim. So that makes sense initially, but now once it's seen that Ahasuerus loves Esther, so why not tell, you know, why not? Why not say where she was from? What's the problem with it? And why does Mordechai keep being, as Rashi says over here, he's mezarzeh v'hamramzeh alkach. He keeps hinting to her and warning her, don't say where you came from. Conceal your identity. Why was it so important, as I said before, why was it so important for the psukim to reiterate the fact that Esther was supposed to hide her identity and hide where she came from? Okay, does anybody have any possibilities or any thoughts on this, on the phone lines?
Well, maybe like once she came into the kingdom, if they found out, it would just be embarrassing for them. Whereas beforehand, it would just be something that she didn't want to reveal for her own sake. And then it becomes more of like not her sake anymore, but looking bad on their part. So maybe they're trying to protect.
Okay, all right.
Not her, but someone else.
Okay, good. All right. That's a good approach. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Anybody else have an approach? Okay, so everybody recognizes the questions. Hopefully the questions are clear. Okokay, so we have these Rashi and this Bir Agra, but they both seem inconsistent with the fact that the Pasuk reiterates later on, even after Esther is loved by Ahasuerus and chosen by Ahasuerus, it says again that she had to hide her identity. So the question is why? I have another smaller question on the Pasuk. On Chaf, it says, "Ein Esther mageres molata v'esama kasher tiva aleha Mordechai." So if you look in Chaf, as opposed to Yud, where it says, "Lo higida Esther esama v'esmolata ki Mordechai tiva aleha shelo sagid," the order is switched around. In Yud, it says, "Lo higida Esther esama v'esmolata." She didn't reveal her nation and, you know, her family and her birthplace and her, you know, those that surrounding her immediate family, that information. And then if you look later on in Chaf, it says, "Ein Esther mageres molata v'esama." So it switches it around. So my question is, why does it switch it around? Okay? So that's a smaller question. Okay, so let's get back to the main question, and we'll try to address it. If we look at number 6, I think we have to go back to the story of Vashti to appreciate the idea here, being expressed by, I think, Rashi and the Gra. Look at number 6, Esther Perek Aleph. It starts with Pasuk Yud. Let me just get it in my Megillah. Okay. Bayom Ashvi, Ketov Lev Hamelech Bayayin. So obviously we hopefully remember that Ahasuerus had this big party, and on the 7th day when he was good and drunk, Amar Limuhuman Bizisach Harvonah Biksav Avaksa Zesar V'Charkash Shivasasari Sim Hamishar Simas Pnei Hamelech Ahasuerus. He said to his various advisors, Lehavias Vashti Amalkal Defnei Hamelech Becheser Malchus Leharos Hamim Basarim Es Yofya Kitovas Marehi. To bring Vashti, the queen, before the melech with the crown on her head, in order to show off her beauty to all the nations. Yudbez, Vatimaina Malka Vashti Lavo Bidvar Melech Asher Biyadasari Sim, Vaiktofa Melech Meod Vachamaso Barabo. But Vashti didn't want to come, and Achashverosh got very upset, very angry, and we all know what happens after that. What happens after that is that she gets killed. The question that is raised, and I think will help us and give us insight into answering the first question, is why was it important for Vashti to be brought out by Achashverosh? And furthermore, it seems strange that he would get so angry that he would want to kill her. And I think if we understand this, maybe we can, as I said before, we can reflect back on the original questions. So look at the Malbim. The Malbim is actually excellent on Megillas Esther, and he gives a lot of insight into the story. If we look at the Malbim on that Pasuk, I'm going to read inside. It's number 7 on the source sheets. Lahavi. So the word is Lahavi, to bring. Shetzivo Lahem, Lahavi, he commanded them, the advisors, to bring her. Shalashon Mara, Shivyuha Balkorcha, Ke'acha Shivchosov. So the Lashon, the language, seems to indicate that Vashti had to be brought, you know, unwillingly, forcefully, like a shifcha, like a maidservant. Shetziva shivyuha beofen shiyadua kol. So he commanded that she be brought so that everybody know, ki mevim es Vashti amalka lo hamalka Vashti, so that Vashti the queen was being brought and not Queen Vashti. If you look in the psukim, it says Vashti amalka, not Malka Vashti. So it's almost denigrating her a little. Shemin boa lifnei amelch yadu kol amim she'in malchusa atzmila. See, when she would come before the other kingdoms and the other people there, everyone would know that she herself didn't warrant independent kingship. Vehu al yidei shivyu alifnei amelch bechesar malchus, by him bringing her before him with the keser malchus, rotzelomar shlo tilbash hakeser adasher tavo lifnei amelch, meaning she wasn't allowed to wear it until she came to the melech. So he was trying to present her as not being willing or not being worthy of independent monarchy. And it was only because of him that she had gained any type of kingship or any type of monarchy. Verotzel lomar lifnei amelech eish tia lefanav az tia becheser machus lo kono machin. Meaning to say that she can't wear the crown before she comes the melech, but only once she gets to the melech is she worthy of the crown. Uvazeh, and through this, yakiru hakol she'en roi la lilbo shakeser biyos levada ki edyotosi. Everybody would know that she's just a simple person. There's nothing spectacular about her. She just had yotos. Tachlis materes chafetzo laharos ha'amim vasarim shal lekacha bavo yechusa. So he wanted to demonstrate that he didn't take Vashti because of her yichus, her lineage. Rak bavo yafdya ki tovas marehi. Shema yalocha bavor yechusa ubavor shayidei zach lamalchus lo yitachin sheyira es yafya. Because if he took her because of the fact that she was connected, and I'm going to explain what that means, so then it wasn't important that, or he wouldn't want to show her off because of her beauty. Ki alo bein yafe bein ki'ura, whether she was beautiful or ugly, hayalocha achar she'ama laka chevamucha, because she was connected, he would take her nevertheless. So the fact that he's trying to show off her beauty is trying to express two things. One is that A, she's not worthy of any kingship, and B, that he chose her because of her beauty and not because of the fact that she was connected and she had lineage. Valo zeb bizayon el medinos imara yafya ki ilu hayofi chashav yoser min amalchus shehisig al yada. So he's trying to express that her malchus was irrelevant and her yofi was more important. Aval bezeg gila ki ein machshavo salamalka mitzar atzma. But this reflected Achashverosh's perspective of Vashti, that he didn't view Vashti as a malka, as a queen on her own. Vizacha ba'am malchus misat atzma b'kocho g'veraso, uvazer ratza la'agila l'chafetzo limloch malucha bilti mugbeles. Okay? So what is the Malbim saying? He's saying a beautiful idea. See, why did Achashverosh take Vashti and show her off? He's trying to express that really Vashti had no intrinsic, as I said before, inherent kingship, and the only reason why he chose her was because of her beauty. See, Vashti was connected, and she did have, a kingship or king. She had lineage, and one of the ideas was Achashverosh. She wasn't really connected, and the story and the history is that Achashverosh really married Vashti to secure his kingship and to secure his malchus because of her connections. But now you see after the fact that he's trying to express to everybody else that the fact that she's connected has nothing to do with his malchus, and that he's really melech regardless of Vashti. So what does that show you about Achashverosh? See, I think it shows you that Ahasuerus was very insecure about his malchus. See, he was very insecure. He knew that other people viewed him as only attaining malchus because of Vashti, and he was trying to denigrate Vashti in order to demonstrate that he's the king and he's the man. So now, with that answer, with that idea, I think we can gain insight into the original psukim and the original questions. So how can we answer it? You see, Rashi said initially that the reason why Esther wasn't allowed to express where she came from because of the fact that she was connected to Malchus. And Mordechai understood that Ahasuerosh was attracted to Malchus. He was attracted to Vashti, even though he said he wasn't. He was really attracted to her because of Malchus, because he was trying to expand, you know, his power and his kingdom. But in the end of the day, that ends up backfiring on Vashti, because the fact that she is connected to Malucha, it reveals, or it pushes on an insecurity that Ahasuerosh has, and because of that, Ahasuerosh ends up killing Vashti. And that's why it says V'chamaso barabo. That's why he was so angry at Vashti. It wasn't because she refused him, but it's because she challenged his malchus by saying no. And she was basically saying that I am really a queen, and I'm not going to be told what to do. So Mordechai really understood the psyche of Ahasuerosh. He understood that Ahasuerosh was very insecure about his kingship, and he commanded Esther in the first place not to mention anything because Ahasuerosh would be attracted to it, to expand his power, his base of power. But he reiterated to Esther not to say anything because he understood that Malucha and Malucha being connected to Esther would end up backfiring, just like it did with Vashti. Because he understood how Ahasuerosh's psyche would play out in terms of Esther, vis-a-vis Esther. So it's true, Rashi doesn't explain explicitly why Mordechai commands Esther to continue not saying anything, but it really does fit in with his first pshat. But it also demonstrates to you the incredible understanding that Mordechai had of psychology and of the nature of Ahasuerosh. And I think with that, we can also explain the Gra. See, the Gra said that Esther really hid from the king. And even though, so the idea is that even though Ahasuerosh really loved Esther in the end, but the fact that Esther didn't want to be with him would always play on him. And it would always be a factor, and it would be something in the back of his mind that he would use, or he could potentially use against Esther and against the people that she came from. So Mordechai understood that the nature of the insecurity of Ahasuerosh was, A, that he wanted to demonstrate that he was the king and that his kingship came from nowhere else. And B, if anybody didn't want to be with him or denigrated him, that was also a challenge to his kingship. So even though he loved Esther, the knowledge that in the past Esther had hidden from him and didn't really want to be with him, that could potentially be disastrous for Esther in the future and also for, you know, her family and her nation. So both the Gra and Rashi, they're both going on the initial psukim, but their idea really, as I said before, really reflects on Mordechai's knowledge of psychology and Mordechai's knowledge of Ahasuerosh. So I just want to express that idea as the first idea in tonight's shiur, which is that Esther really had to hide her identity because of these factors, because of the idea that Ahasuerosh felt very insecure about his kingship. Okay? Does anybody have any questions or any thoughts or proofs? Anybody?
I think also... Hello?
Yes.
I think also you see from the psychology of Ahasuerosh that had Esther been forthcoming with where she came from, she wouldn't have been able to be as manipulative or as controlling of the situation.
Yes, but that's...
The employees suspected her.
Yes, that is true. Yes, that is true. But that's assuming that Mordechai knew what was coming in the future. The way that you're saying it is that Mordechai understood what was coming in the future.
True.
That Mordechai, yeah. So that's based on that assumption. But if you don't assume that Mordechai knew what was coming in the future in terms of the Jewish people, that they would be threatened by Haman, so I think you have to go with this idea, that really he was trying to protect Esther because he understood how Ahasuerosh's mind worked and where his insecurities lie. Okay? So that's the first part of the shiur, but I also want to take up what the idea of Esther's hiding it was about in terms of Esther, in terms of her perfection. There's a Gemara in Megillah. It's a very fascinating Gemara in number 8. It's Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. It says Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer. So there's a brisa. Rabbi Meir says Esther Shema. Her name was Esther. V'lama Nikra Shema Hadassah. So why is she called Hadassah? Al Shema Tzadikim Shenikru Hadassim. Because tzaddikim are called hadassim, meaning the myrtle branch. V'cheinu omer, v'hu omed bein ha'adassim. Okay, fine. Rabbi Yehuda omer hadassa shema. So Rabbi Yehuda says that hadassa was her name. V'lama nikre shema Esther. Why was her name called, why is she called Esther if her real name is hadassa? Al-shem shahaisa misateres tavareha. Because she kept where she was from secretive. Shenemar ein Esther magedes es ama. Because as we saw before, Esther didn't mention where she was from. So one of the reasons why she's called Esther is because of this very factor. But apparently the Gemara seems to indicate that this was a good thing, and this is a perfection in Esther. So I want to understand on a deeper level, on a more significant level, what the perfection of Esther keeping it in was. Why was it so hard for her? You know, what exactly was the perfection? Let's just go on, because there's some interesting ideas in this Gemara, just shot in the Gemara. Rav Nechemya Omer, Hadassah Shema, V'lama Nikreis Esther. So why is she called Esther if her name is really Hadassah? Shayu Umos Ha'olam, Korim Osa Ashum Istahar. Because the other nations would call her Istahar, which was Venus, I think. So they would call her Istar. Ben Azai Omer, Esther Lo Aruka, V'lo Kitsara Haisa, Ela Benanis. Ben Azai says the reason why she's called Hadassah is because she's medium size, like Hadassah. She wasn't too tall, she wasn't too short, she was average size. This is the strangest one. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Esther Yirak Rokia Saisa, V'chut Shal Chesed Mashach Aleh. So the last one is that Esther was really a little green, and that's why she's called Hadassah. But she had a Chut Shal Chesed Mashach Aleh. She found favor in other people's eyes. Apparently she had a very good personality, and she was very pleasant in the presence of others, but she was a little green, on the green side. So somebody said to me that it meant olive skin. I don't know. I mean, it says green. So apparently she looked a little green, but nevertheless, it was her personality was overwhelming, and it was overwhelmingly positive. Okay, fine. But what I really want to take up is the nature of Esther's perfection in terms of keeping it a secret. So we took it up from the standpoint of Mordechai. Why did Mordechai command her not to say anything? And we explained that. But now, Why is it mentioned as before, Ki Mordechai Tziva, that it constantly says, because Mordechai commanded her, so why does it keep reiterating that? Why is Esther, the fact that she keeps it a secret, such a perfection that she's named after it? And then also, maybe we can answer the smaller question, which was the change in order of Molad Tav Es Ama. Okay? So let's just take up Magedes Molad Tav Es Ama first, actually. The Malbim actually mentioned something, and I want to address the Malbim. He says, in v'choze, sorry, number 9, Malbim Esther, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf, in, v'choze lohol rak in Esther magedes molata v'esama, v'hinei t'chila hikdim ama l'molata. In the beginning, it says ama before molata, kisham haya ha'mevukash l'adas mahi, because that's what they wanted to know. They wanted to know what her nation was. V'derach lishol t'chila al ama v'achar kach ha'molata. So first people ask about her nation, and then they'll ask about her family. Upo hayaha mevukash kedei lahativ im b'nei ama. Now, once she's beloved by Achashverosh, they want to know more particular information in order to do good for her family. Uvezeh shalu t'chila amolata shehem kodmin lekavel hatov hahi. That's why they ask her about her family, her media family, because they will benefit more than, you know, her nation. V'achakach al ama shegam imahem yetivu ba'avura. And then afterwards it asks about the nation because they will also benefit, but not as much as her immediate family. V'siper tzidkasa she'afsha also legdula shamo divrei Mordechai kiva'os shahaisa tachas reshuso. Sorry, kiva'esh shahaisa tachas reshuso be'es ha'omein. Okay? So what's the Malbim saying? He's saying that really, he's taking it from the standpoint of the people asking her. So in the beginning, he's saying you ask a person about her nation, her ama, and then you ask for more specifics. So I actually was thinking about a good example, you know, in terms of a date. You know, when you go on a date the first time, you always ask for the more generals. But when you get to know somebody better, then you always ask for the more specifics. So it seems like the psukim are reflecting, you know, in terms of her relationship to the people around her and Achashverosh, you know, it's reflecting a development. That in the beginning, they didn't know her. They just wanted to know the basics. But in the end, once they knew other aspects of her personality, they wanted to know more specifics. And the Malbim is focusing on the idea of helping her and her family out. But I think it's also, you can look at it from the standpoint of Esther. That Esther, you see, she was, you know, extremely lonely. She didn't really have full contact, direct contact with Mordechai. She was surrounded by all these na'aros to help her. Achashverosh wasn't exactly, you know, the most loving husband. He wasn't exactly the best person to talk to. So she really had nobody to talk to. And from the standpoint of Esther being lonely and apart from, you know, her family, apart from Mordechai, so it would be natural to first want to express, you know, where you came from. And then when you develop relationships with the people around you, you want to express, you know, more insight into your family, into your private life. So I think that there's the Malbim's taking it from the standpoint of the people asking her. And that's how he's explaining the psukim. But I think you can also address it from the standpoint of Esther. That in the beginning, Esther would rather talk about her Amma and then her Molata, because it's natural to talk about the more generals and to want people to know who you are in a more general sense in the beginning. But once you develop relationships with the people around you, then you want to tell them who you really are and you want to express your private life. But apparently, so what was the tzidkus? What was the greatness of Esther? And this is what the Malbim and the Gra also mention. See, Esther, it sounds like Esther really wanted to spill her guts because she was so alone and she didn't have anybody to talk to and nobody knew where she was from. Imagine being somewhere and being surrounded by people who you're getting close to, but nevertheless, you can't tell them, you know, the most basic information about yourself. So that was very difficult for Esther. So apparently the Torah or the Megillah is expressing that she constantly had to be reminded by Mordechai that Mordechai commanded her not to do it because it was very difficult for her to not spill her guts. And that's the idea that the psukim are mentioning by saying ki Mordechai tziva alah, that she wouldn't be able to do it on her own. Because not because she didn't see what Mordechai saw, but because it was just too difficult for her from an emotional standpoint. That she was surrounded by people, she was completely alone, and she had to keep it inside, to keep inside the most basic information. But furthermore, if you look at the Gra actually highlights, I think, what the Malbim's saying, but on a he's a little bit more explicit. He says in number 10, the Achshav Mar Lanu Hakatsav Godel Tzidkasa. So we see from the Psukim the greatness of Esther's righteousness. Shemordechai lo tziva aleha ela machmas yira shelo yargu osa. Mordechai only told her, according to the Gra, in order so that he protect her from Achashverosh finding out that she hid from him. Vehi rasa shenoa genba kavod gadol. But Esther saw that Achashverosh was respecting her greatly, v'ein maskirin mashahaya, and he didn't really remember what happened. Afal pichein lo higida Esther. Nevertheless, Esther didn't say anything. V'hainu ki Mordechai tziva la asher lo sagid, and that is because Mordechai commanded her not to say anything. V'haisa shomeres, I don't know what that says. Mamar Mordechai afal pisha haisa yoda she'ein atam noig. Sorry, I have a bad copy, but she kept the words of Mordechai even though she didn't understand the reasoning. Okay, and he explains in Chaf the similar idea. Even though she saw that she was exalted in the eyes of the Melech, so she saw that all these things were happening for her, that the other Basulos were sent away. Okay, so he's highlighting the same idea. Apparently, Esther also felt a certain confidence at this point from Achashverosh and from the fact that she had become queen. And normally, when a person becomes confident, they lose sight of potentially disastrous outcomes. And Mordechai, he saw how Esther's revelation of where she came from, you know, would affect her in the future in a negative way. But Esther, she was being lauded and she was being exalted by Achashverosh and all the people around her. And she felt a certain sense of ego satisfaction in both situations, in the beginning, once she was chosen initially, and then afterwards when he makes this big party for her. So it's normal for a person to feel confident, who feels confident, to, you know, to want to spill their guts and to want to just talk and not be worried about the disastrous effects in the future. But apparently, the Gra is saying she didn't really see what Mordechai saw because of the fact that her ego was being stroked, and it was her perfection that she was able to hold back, and she was able to, you know, put her faith in Mordechai's knowledge of psychology and Mordechai's knowledge of Achashverosh in the future. So that really expresses Esther's greatness and Esther's perfection, according to the Gra and the Malbim. Okay? So that's really tonight's shiur. So I just want to, you know, review some of the ideas that we discussed in Megillas Esther. So one idea we discussed is, or the first point, is why was it important for Esther not to say anything to Ahasuerus? And we saw Rashi and we saw the Gra, and they both seem to indicate that initially there would be disastrous consequences if Esther were to reveal it. Either she would be chosen because she was tied to Malchus, or she would be killed because of the fact that she tried to hide from Ahasuerus. But the question is, once it was obvious that she was chosen by Ahasuerus, why did she still have to keep it a secret? So then we saw the Malbim on Vashti, and the Malbim expressed that Ahasuerus, the reason why he killed Vashti was because of the fact that Vashti posed a threat to his Malchus, and Ahasuerus couldn't handle that. So we see from that story that Ahasuerus was very insecure about his Malchus, and Mordechai understood that apparently. So he continues to tell Esther, don't tell anything, don't say anything about where you came from in order to protect her from a future outcome that would emerge. The same outcome that emerged by Vashti would potentially emerge by Esther because of the fact that Ahasuerus was so insecure about his Malchus. Either way you go, either according to Rashi, because of the fact that he would know that Esther was tied to Malchus and that would threaten his Malchus, or because of the Gra, that Ahasuerus would always keep in the back of his mind the fact that Esther didn't respect him as a Melech and didn't want to be with him initially. So both those ideas demonstrated Mordechai's knowledge of the future and knowledge of the psychology of Ahasuerus. But then we took it from the standpoint of Esther, and we saw it from a different perspective. See, from Esther's standpoint, it was a great perfection that she was able to keep it inside and to hide her identity. Why? Because she was her ego was being stroked, as the Gra said, and she was being told that she was beautiful, she was chosen by Ahasuerus, so she should feel confident, but nevertheless she trusted in Mordechai and Mordechai's knowledge of Ahasuerus' psyche. And furthermore, the idea was that she was alone, and she was by herself, and she really couldn't reveal the most basic information about herself. And in order to stop herself, she constantly had to be reminded, and she constantly had to keep Mordechai in the back of her mind. It kind of reminds me of the Medrash by Yosef and Yaakov, that when Yosef was seduced by Potiphar, the desire for Ashes Potiphar was so strong that he had to see the image of his father in order to help him and in order to stop him from going through with it. So it's the same thing over here by Esther. She really, her desire and to reveal who she was to the people around her because of, I think, the loneliness and the fact that she was completely separated from Mordechai and everybody she knew, that desire was so strong. And it's only because of the fact that Mordechai was mitzava her. And it says, the psukim say, kasher ba'omna ito, just like when he raised her. In other words, the idea of Mordechai as a father figure was essential in preventing Esther from revealing where she was and in protecting her from a potentially disastrous situation. And when she actually does reveal herself to Ahasuerus, she's very careful in reflecting the fact that she's not an adversary to Ahasuerus, and her people are not an adversary to Ahasuerus. So the idea is that Esther understood. She didn't understand. It was very difficult for her. She might have understood intellectually, but emotionally it was very difficult. But she was able to hold back and able to, you know, and to prevent potentially disastrous situation for herself and the Jewish people. Okay? So that is really tonight's shir. Does anybody have any questions on the shir? Anybody?
Are you saying that she held back for two reasons? Number one, out of respect for Mordechai because he was his father figure and she was, you know, listening to him, and also because she understood the psychology of what could happen?
See, I'm not sure if she understood the psychology. I'm not sure if she understood it, and she just, like, emotionally it was too hard for her because of the fact that her ego was being stroked, like the Gra says.
Right.
Or it could be that because her ego is being stroked that she lost sight of it. And it could be that she needed... That's why I think the psukim say very specifically... Where is that? If you look in... it says... where is that? In Chaf, I think. It says... Kasher haisa be'omna ito. It could be that that's the idea, that the reason why she needed that idea of Mordechai as a father figure is because she lost sight of it because of the fact that her ego was being stroked. Or it just could be that she really did see it, but like as the same idea, but she couldn't, it was too hard for her, it was very difficult for her, so she needed something external.
She was vulnerable, and she that reinforcement, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, she was taken away from Mordechai. It's not like she has that much interaction with Ahasuerus. She is surrounded by a lot of people, and it wasn't just that she couldn't say anything to Ahasuerus. She couldn't say anything to anybody around her because it would get out to Ahasuerus.
So she, women, Yeah.
Yeah, so she's surrounded by all these other women, and I'm sure she developed relationships with them, but she can't tell them, you know, who she is, where she came from. It's the most basic information, and yet even after developing the relationship, she had to hold back. She wasn't able to reveal that information. So it was very difficult for her. So either,
right.
Yeah, so I think that's the idea. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Do we know how old she was, by the way?
What'd you say?
When this all happened?
What'd you say?
Do we know how old she was?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm sure the Midrashim take it up. I'm not sure how old she was. Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody on the phone line know? No? Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. All right, so that's tonight's share. So everybody, next week we're going to do another Purim area. I'm not sure if it's going to be Megillah or just a Purim idea, an idea in Purim itself in the Halachos. All right, so hopefully we'll see. Everybody will be on the phone line next week. Okay? So have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Good night. Have a good Shabbos. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So much. Thank you.
Good night. Bye. Good night.